Mic check. We're back.
Check it.
Jiggity jiggity check. We're back. It's a little pocket awareness. It's Marcus and Chris. It's another episode. We're back.
We're back.
After a sluggish Super Bowl.
Oh, we got just sluggish awkward. Back to it. Because I hurt my soul with tweeting, just a general heads up. This Super Bowl is going to be the best one of the games that we have ever seen. Telling you now. Fortune teller. It's already, I know it, man. Oh, God, that beat me up bad.
Yeah, it wasn't a good game. I mean, it was not as awful as the casual fan right?
There were some pieces of it that I liked. Well, not necessarily that I liked. I liked how... just kind of watching it and seeing things develop and being like, wow, I can't believe that that's something that happened here. Like, this shouldn't have ever been a thing. Like, I don't know how many times you tweeted about Goff's miss on that touchdown pass.
Oh, my God. And, anyways, we make sure you guys subscribe to Little Pocket Awareness on Spotify. Hit the Spotify button. Download this. Search us on Spotify. Check me out on Twitter at the Mark John NFL, Raiders Wire and Cowboys Wire. Chris, hit him with the Twitter at.
You can come see me make a fool of myself on Twitter with false projections about what's going to happen at King Manelos. And then make sure you're following us if you got iTunes or you got that podcast button on your iPhone. Search us and subscribe on iTunes.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So today we're going to be talking about a lot of things. A lot of things broke today. We got the Kyler Murray is officially declaring.
He's officially, yep. Yep.
He's officially in.
Boris is pissed.
I bet he is.
You see, he can't do anything. He can't be a part of it.
Really? At all?
There's another have to take another step with the NFL Players Association to allow him to be his agent. Yeah, he's not all right. He's not happy.
He's gonna I smell lawsuit.
No, they'll work it out. They'll work it out. It'll be after the draft because okay. I bet you he goes in without an agent just in case he doesn't like where he falls and he can step out from it, you know. But I think something tricky happens and Boris gets his way.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that. We got a little in-depth conversation with Dwayne Haskins. Do a little breakdown, have a little conversation.
Yeah, we're going to have a conversation. I think we're going to have a conversation.
We're going to have a conversation about Dwayne Haskins. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the quarterback landscape for veteran quarterbacks or the quarterbacks that are free agents. There's going to be a lot of quarterback movement this year. Especially with Tannehill already announcing they're going to drop Tannehill.
They've been saying that since before the Super Bowl, too, though.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of movement. And then it might get to a little AAF. Quarterback. Arizona Hotshots, man. I might have to give me a jersey, bro, after that.
I know. That was a jersey, dog. That was a nice little start there for him.
You know, man. I was like, ugh. I mean, it's the best Arizona team right now. Suns suck. Cardinals suck. I mean, Diamondbacks are disappointment.
Their team. They're
a disappointment.
They gave away their team.
And they're going to suck. So,
yep.
Welcome to Arizona, people. All right. So, back to the mediocre Super Bowl. It was mediocre. So, some people were like, oh, it's you guys just aren't real fans or whatever. You didn't love the game. Like, it wasn't even about loving the game because it was a defensive game, but it wasn't like
It
wasn't like there was like people getting knocked out.
Right. It wasn't just the defenses like just manhandling the offenses. Yeah. Like there were a lot of mistakes made on the field on both like the offensive line, the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Like I mean, you can't really blame Brady for anything. I think I don't understand how like the Patriots like took them by surprise. Like how did the Rams they were like, oh, wait, what? Why'd the Patriots do it that way? Like, I don't understand how it was just a surprise to them the whole way through.
They didn't adjust either. They didn't adjust and do anything like that. They didn't try to switch it up. Like, the Patriots were ready for everything. Everything that they do during the season, which, you know, they run a pretty simple West Coast offense. I mean, it's not that it's – they run the same play – but they fake you out with it and do different things. Mm-hmm. But Goff was off. Let's just talk about that.
Yes,
first
he was.
Of all, if Goff was even halfway decent in the game, I don't think that game's close, to be honest, because he missed the Yankee concept twice. he missed a deep post on the Yankee concept twice. If he just think about that, if he hits both of those and he reads it correctly and hits both of them, that's already two big touchdowns. So yeah. It was more about Goff not playing well and him panicking and not just realizing that they're giving him stuff.
Though. You can scheme around that though. There's no reason when your quarterback is struggling the way that he is that your Pro Bowl, NFL MVP candidate running back is only getting the ball 10 times in a game where you are not down more than two scores very often.
Well, their offensive line got dominated. It wasn't more about Gurley running the ball. It's like, why not throw him a screen? Like, we didn't see any screens to him.
No, we didn't see any creativity getting him the ball.
He was hurt. They're not going to say it, but and I mean, people were trying to prove that he's not hurt and whatever, but come on. You have Todd Gurley, you don't run one screen.
10 rushes, that's it.
10 touches? Like, if he's not hurt, you at least give him 25 touches. Yeah. I don't care if C.J. Anderson's back there. You don't even have to give him run touches. You could run the ball with C.J. Anderson all day, but mm-hmm. I think Todd Gurley needs some touches in this receiving game. You could have, like, 14 catches that game. I mean, if they were giving it to you like that, you know,
yeah.
You weren't expecting something like that.
No.
So, but Goff had a lot of things there that he just didn't take. And
he wasn't Patriots comfortable.
What is that?
They kept him uncomfortable the whole time.
They did.
They really did.
But, it was just so bad, man. He was just locking on to stuff, just doing things he didn't do all year.
Right. Right.
He really that moment really got to him.
Well, he was the youngest quarterback to ever play in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but damn.
I know.
Still year three, Chris. I don't care how young you are.
I didn't like the way it went down. I really didn't. Oh, I really didn't.
It was just bad. Now people are comparing him to Andy Dalton. He just took a fall, man. I'm wondering now if this is a confidence crusher.
No, come on. No.
It might be a confidence crushing game.
You're in the Super Bowl. This is not a confidence crushing game.
Oh, man.
This is where you got to understand that, you know, you're an NFL quarterback who just played in his first Super Bowl. I get it if the moment was too big for you this one time, but that's not something that kills you. Like, you were just playing in the Super Bowl. That's not going to kill the confidence. I don't think so. I think if he comes out slow at the beginning of the season, yes, he could look back and say that's the moment where it all went to shit. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of fell down. It all went downhill on him. But I don't think that he would go back for any other reason and say, oh, my God, I can't do this anymore.
I think he's going to struggle a little bit next year.
I think
he's going to have a little bit of a hangover.
Well, it'll be year three of the Sean McVay.
And the media is going to start. They're going to start chirping. As soon as it's that first game, maybe they start 0-2 and Goff doesn't play well. Oh, the media is going to start chirping in his ear.
It's very possible that could happen just because now it's not a surprise anymore what McVay does.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to really be creative and understand what he's doing because his whole playbook's out there now, 2 years of it.
Yeah, so there was an interesting stat that I saw on an article by a guy on Twitter named Justice Mosqueda. Oh, sorry, hopefully I said that right. Mm. It's @JuteMosque, where he writes really good, intelligent articles based on data and information. Mm-hmm. And he's always put out these articles about teams that win a lot of close games. So when teams win a lot, like more than like 7 or 8 games, mm-hmm. that are really close, they always have like a 3 or 4 win drop off, or at least something like that. And I guess the Rams won a lot of close games this year.
Oh yeah, they did.
So it's them and the Cowboys are supposed to have the big drop off. So the Cowboys are probably going to go fall back to like 7-9 or something like that. But I mean, if you're 13-3 though, the drop off is 10-6. So
right.
So the drop off for them probably not going to be as bad. But I think they're going to struggle a little bit next year. Like,
well,
like
I think
they're not going to be as good as they were. Especially they're going to lose some pieces too.
Right. And then you got to see what's happening inside of the division.
Yeah.
You're going to have a San Francisco 49er team with their starting quarterback, with their starting running back.
Yeah.
You know, getting better on the defensive side of the football, because it sounds like what they're going to do in the draft is take one of those big defensive linemen.
Yeah.
And you're going to pair that stud rookie with what they've already got on that defensive line. I think the Niners take a big step forward. I don't know about the Cardinals, because, you know, I'm of the mindset that they're going to take Murray #1 overall. So I don't think that the Cardinals are going to be in a position to make themselves better, to be a threat to the Rams.
Yeah.
And then you got Seattle, who I'm going to swear up and down every year has no business being at .500, but somehow they're going to magically get to nine wins. So
the Magic's called Russell Wilson, Chris. But yeah, we already talked about this. Yeah.
We're not going there right now.
Magic's called Russell.
Well, let's talk about the real Magic, Mr. Tom Brady.
I mean, Tom was just there most of the game.
You're right. So
he made the big throw. We need to make the big throw, though. So that's all that matters. He's still fourth quarter time. I knew when that game was getting close and it was 3-3. I'm like, oh, my God. It's fourth quarter turned on. He's going to make a play right now. I don't know why we were acting like this is not going to happen. They're not going to win this game. As soon as it hit 3-3 in the fourth quarter, I'm like, oh, he has no shot. He's going to have to go duel for duel.
Right.
Throw for throw with Tom Brady.
Right.
And at that point, he showed no chance.
No.
I'm like, the game's over because Tom's going to start making his throws, and he's going to hit Gronk on a perfect seam throw. You know, it's Tom.
I was a little disappointed, though, to see that Edelman won the MVP. That should have been a defensive player.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's Gilmore.
I mean, he still had 11 catches, 150, man.
Yes, he did, but I think Gilmore with that clutch interception, what he had, he had a clutch interception, a clutch force fumble.
Yeah.
Didn't he recover another? And I think he had like two or three tackles for a loss as well.
Yeah, he had a good game.
He had an amazing game for a corner. Those aren't cornerback numbers.
Yeah.
He should have, in my opinion, he should have been the NFL MVP.
I agree, but I get why they gave it to Edelman. 11 catches, 150.
Sure.
Damn good Super Bowl.
Sure.
But
Robert Kraft's got to figure out where to put his next ring. You see, he's got two rings as cufflinks.
Oh, wow.
He wears them. If you ever see the them, like, just kind of pan shot to Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
He's got his jacket off. And if you ever get to see his wrists, he's got two Super Bowl rings as cufflinks. That's baller. I love it. I think it's the coolest thing ever. I would, if I had as many Super Bowl rings as he does,
yeah,
I would do that
I'm
too.
I'm just tired of this dynasty.
I would do that too. 10 Super Bowl appearances in the last 33 years. Are you kidding me?
It would just be better if I liked him. It was like Michael Jordan or something. Like, I liked Michael Jordan. So it was like watching him dominate in the 90s. I don't like these guys. Like, can you just go away? That's the problem.
Well, when Tom leaves, it'll happen. Because there's no backup plan in New England.
There isn't.
Belichick had his backup plan in Garoppolo, and he was forced to give it up. I think if Garoppolo stays in New England, we see New England continue to be New England.
See,
but now it's when the Brady era ends, the Patriots era ends.
I bet he drafts quarterback this year.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you. I mean, he's done it the last like 4 years, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think somebody like Daniel Jones won't get past them. Or he'll be crazy, and we can transition into this. Take Kyler Murray.
No, well, okay. Let's go ahead. Let's get off the Super Bowl because it wasn't worth spending that much time on it already.
Right there.
You know how I feel about this. Kyler is going number one to Arizona.
See, I think that's too easy right now. It's too easy because Baker Mayfield was not supposed to go number one at this point in time, right?
But you and I both agreed. In our evaluation that he was the best quarterback, and we both agreed that he was number one. We are both in sound agreement that Kyler Murray is not and will not be our number one projected quarterback.
There's
nothing in this evaluation process that is going to change my mind. Just like it didn't change my mind about Josh Allen.
He'll be the first quarterback taken.
Absolutely. He's going number one overall to the Cardinals.
I don't know if he'll go number one overall to the Cardinals, but he'll probably go number one overall.
It's happening.
I think so.
Yeah, because you guys, I know you're not happy about it, but your boys are creating the buzz that he's not going to get past four.
Man, I'm tired of seeing it.
I'm telling you, they're doing
it. Tired of seeing
that's it. That's smart. That's the smart way to play it because you're going to get some team that's going to panic after they see the combine and he throws up these huge numbers in the combine. Everybody's going to freak out and they're going to forget the one number that's really going to determine how well Kyler Murray is going to play, and that's the number that has a 5 and barely a 9.
I mean, my thing with the Raiders drafted quarterback is like, why replace Derek Carr with a bunch of Derek Carrs?
I'm telling you, this isn't. Don't get caught up in it. Just let it.
Why do that?
Let it play out the way that it's going to play out. It's just a buzz piece. They're trying to get people to trade into that 4 spot. They'll get some crazy offer, and then you'll have 5 first round draft picks.
I don't even get the buzz around it. Like,
I get it.
You guys really
smart.
You guys really want to? No, I mean, because a lot of the buzz is not even coming from the Raiders. it's coming from just the media and the media. When your quarterback struggles and he's paid a lot of money, the media just assumes they're gonna, the team is going to move on.
That's even better. That's even better, Marcus. You let them carry the fire. Let the media carry this as far as they possibly can, because some team's going to come down there and try and get in front of the Raiders just so when Kyler's gone at one, they can get your boy, Dwayne, at two.
See, Kyler is a weird breakdown for me, because I have watched a couple of his games. I haven't charted him yet, though, so that's my thing. I did watch his game against UCLA. Mm-hmm. I had some All-22 in that game, and I was watching Rodney Anderson, actually. And I don't think he played that well that game. He didn't play well at all. I thought he missed some throws. He missed some really easy throws that I think he should make. He didn't show a lot of accuracy. Didn't show. I mean, he's not bad in the pocket. He has pretty good pocket movement. I mean, he just shows ability.
He's got fantastic pocket movement. But if you, and when you break him down, I think that this is what you'll see. You're going to see him get into his drop, and unless that ball's out in a three-step drop and a predetermined play at the pre-snap and something that's in his ear that they said the ball's got to get out right away, you'll see him go into his deeper drops, and you'll see him at the back of his drop, and he won't know what to do with the ball, and you'll see him hold it a little longer, and you'll see some pressure come in, and he'll avoid the pressure because he's got phenomenal pocket awareness, and he does a great job. See how I snuck that in there, a little pocket awareness? He does a great job moving in and out of the pocket.
Yeah.
But that's where his success comes from, is when he leaves the pocket.
Of course.
Because he's the prototypical, you got to be worried about where he's going to run because he's such an explosive player that you're willing to, well, not that you're willing to, you're going to give up big plays because you have to respect what he can do with his legs.
Yeah, and he's pretty, as I say, he has good pocket presence. He's not really quick to leave the pocket either.
No.
Which I like.
I like that too, but I don't think that he's back there like trying to find the open receiver and go through his progression.
Not yet.
I think he's back there trying to like,
exactly.
Where's my move? Where am I going to go? What am I going to create?
Exactly. So yeah, it's basically your first read, create.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not really looking to run all the time, but he's looking to create something.
Yes, he's not looking to stay within the design of the play.
He's a playmaker, and he has a ridiculous arm. His arm is ridiculous.
His release is
ridiculous. He's found ways to release at his height to make sure he could find open windows while he's in the pocket. I mean, he really plays really good for the height.
Well, that's that baseball arm, man.
Yeah.
That's that baseball talent. You're not a professional baseball player all of a sudden playing college football and like, oh, my arm's not going to be good. He's making the throws because of his baseball arm. And it's you're seeing a lot of Patrick Mahomes type plays. And because Mahomes has transitioned to the NFL and is having success, well, that means anybody else can do it too. You know,
that's a lot to do with it too.
Absolutely, it does.
Because he has that ability. I mean, he doesn't have Mahomes' arm. But it's close. That's the thing.
I'm agreeing. He's got a phenomenal arm.
He's got phenomenal.
It is a live arm.
It's phenomenal,
and he'll be able to make some of those incredible throws like Patrick Mahomes does too. But I just don't. Mahomes is on a different level.
Yeah. Also, Mahomes sat out of here, and Alex Smith acted like he was a mentor and basically taught him a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. He's like, not going to have that in Arizona. Or he's not going to have that in Arizona.
I don't know. Maybe they pick up a veteran. I don't know.
Yeah, they'll bring Sam Bradford back again.
Where's Bradford? What is it?
We'll get there.
We haven't heard anything about Bradford.
No.
Somebody's going to sign him. I don't care.
Absolutely.
What they say.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that.
He's not done.
We'll talk about that. He's not going to get 20. But he'll probably get 8 somewhere.
I mean, I wouldn't mind Sam Bradford as a good backup, though. I mean, if you're a Packers fan and they brought in Bradford as a backup, but, you know.
I don't want him.
You wouldn't want him for a couple, like, 2 games?
No, because he won't play 2 games. He'll play a quarter and a half and get hurt. Now we got to play the third. Oh, wait, we don't have a third-string quarterback because we thought Aaron Rodgers would be fine. And, oh, Sam Bradford's a good two, so, like, we're not going to even worry about a third-string quarterback. Oh, we need a third. Oh,
I think Sam Bradford is a good backup quarterback.
Nope. Not for me. I don't want him in Green Bay.
All right, but yeah, Patrick Mahomes also did sit out a year, because I still think if Patrick Mahomes came out and played, he would have been a little wild.
Well, that's what I was 100% expecting out of him this season. I was expecting the wild. I was expecting, I mean, what, he still threw 12 interceptions.
I mean, it's not a lot.
It's not a lot when you're throwing 50 touchdowns, but if you throw 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions is bad.
I mean, I think what next year he's going to hit like 35, Patrick Mahomes.
I'm really 35. Interested to see what's going to happen.
Over-under. We'll do over-under with that later on.
We'll play around there.
Do a little over-under. Uh-huh. But see, with Kyler, I mean, you probably are going to hit on Kyler right away, right? I think Kyler's going to come out. He's going to be hard to figure out at first. He's going to make some plays.
Right, because he's going to be the same thing that Lamar Jackson was this year.
Yeah. I wouldn't say Lamar Jackson, because I think he's a better passer than Lamar Jackson.
Really?
I think so, for sure. Way better pass. I don't think it's close.
Really?
Passing, I don't think so. I think it's more for me about an accuracy throw to throw. Like, he has some wow throws,
mm-hmm.
Chris. When I mean wow, I mean like wow. Right? And you could find them all over his tape, but it's for me, it's always throw to throw. That's why I always want to chart him. I feel bad even speaking on it, because I really want to chart him throw for throw. Because if you really can't look at quarterbacks without doing that, because it's hard to decide. You can watch highlights, you can get amazed by one throw, but throw to throw. Can if he steps back and he's gotta make that throw on 3rd and 10,
mm-hmm.
and he needs to make that throw, is he gonna make it? I don't know.
I don't know either.
He might. He might not, because he's so hit or miss with his accuracy. That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, he throws a really nice deep ball, though. So, you know, I'm always big on the deep ball. He throws a nice one. And
you don't think I'm in love with the deep ball?
I mean,
I think everybody loves
the deep
ball.
Ladies love the deep ball, right?
Everybody loves the deep ball.
All right. Yeah. So, if that's my problem with him, is it's throw to throw. I mean, everything else, arm talent, everything, talent, yeah, number one quarterback. But I just don't think throw to throw he is a top five quarterback. That's just my opinion.
I'll agree arm talent is there. I'll agree he's very physically gifted.
Yeah.
And he has the ability to escape, and his awareness is good. I don't think the guy knows how to run through a progression.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do any college quarterbacks really do that anymore?
Well, you know, that's a good point. See, I don't think you're seeing that these kids are learning how to read a progression.
And I think some, and I've seen him do it. So that's why I think he could be taught that. I think that's a thing that can be taught. It's going through progressions.
I don't understand how that's not something that's taught like immediately. That's what really, like, I guess college is still such a you know, if you're physically gifted, you can get away with murder.
Oh, for sure.
And I guess because I wasn't the most physically gifted person, like,
yeah,
I had to make sure I learned the position. And yeah. It just blows my mind to sit here and think, you don't know how to run through a progression? Like, it's just some basic standard quarterback operation.
Well, I mean, if you could go to your first progression and then you could roll out and then throw a 50-yard bomb, like, who cares? Does anybody care at that point?
The coach does.
Lincoln Riley does it.
I bet you when he comes.
Put his hands up, yeah, he's touchdown. Yeah. Do your thing, Kyler.
Man, all I know is anytime I threw the ball downfield like that, I got yelled at.
He's like, touchdown, Kyler Murray. That's what he said.
Well, that's true. I mean, I played at such a small level. Like, they knew that it was, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Good point.
He doesn't care what he does if he goes through his progressions that much.
That's a good
point. He probably is like, I mean, you had number two, but it's okay.
Yeah.
That's what Lincoln Riley says.
Yeah.
I mean, so you did have the tight end of the seam, but it's okay.
You didn't have to leave the pocket. You could have just, like, thrown it down the seam, and it would have been clean. Everything's fine. But, I mean, like, you did take, like, seven juke moves. You hard-stepped left. You came backwards right. I think you did a pirouette, like, three times, and then you threw it deep, and it was a touchdown. But, I mean,
yeah,
could have made – you wouldn't be as tired.
Like, what are you coaching at that point? I mean, he's going to be able to get away with that for a little bit, but he's not going to
– No, not for long. No. So. Yeah. Yeah.
He's gonna have to learn to go through his progressions.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna have to.
Well, I think the guy that you believe to be maybe more well rounded with something like reading his progressions is a young man out of Ohio State.
Yes. Dwayne Haskins, which, I started off with this little broadcast stuff, right? The broadcast view. And that's just pure accuracy for me. That's I think I can grade accuracy based on that most of the time. I mean, I guess with all 22, you can see, like, maybe if he's trying to guide somebody somewhere or something like that with accuracy, get a little better view. But, I mean, the main thing that, you know, with Haskins is accuracy itself. His accuracy is just so hit and miss everywhere.
He frustrated me so hard in the Rose Bowl. Like, Marcus, that's the end of the season. Like, that's – you should be dialed in at that point. And he's throwing some balls that I could not for the life of me believe that he was missing as badly as he was missing. And I'm just watching – that's a casual just watch from the TV. It's the broadcast. I'm not even watching from behind the quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, looking at what he's looking at, trying to go through progression with him. It frustrated the hell out of me. And I just, for me, I threw my hands up. I was like, I can't, just from watching the broadcast and seeing him miss as badly as he's missing, I can't seriously put him in my top five. Like, I'm not putting him in my top five. Like, I mean, he's not a top five overall pick.
Yeah.
I'm seeing him show up in these top 15 numbers. I don't even think he's the 15th best player in the draft. And the accuracy it's really killing me.
He's not the best top 15 player in this draft. Not none of these quarterbacks are.
No, not even a little bit.
I mean, somebody could probably make the case for Kyler Murray being that.
Well, they'll do it. Just wait for the combine. When these guys have their athletic prowess and they go out there to show what they're doing, people are going to have meltdowns. They're going to have absolute meltdowns. You got Stephen A. Smith talking about how great Haskins is outside the pocket, and he's not a Kyler Murray. He's not going to run around with the football like that. That's not him.
So I watched four Haskins games. I watched Ohio State versus Michigan State. I watched Oregon State. Watched them play Oregon State. I watched them play Purdue and Nebraska. I have this kind of threshold for accuracy percentage. You know, like all the top guys last year, they were all over 70% total accuracy. Right,
all of them were.
All of them, except Josh Allen. Yeah, Josh Allen was not.
Josh Allen was
like 50 something.
Yeah.
He's like 57 or something. It was pretty awful.
Cam Newton numbers.
I mean, I think Cam Newton would have got better.
I had to sneak that in there.
Yeah, you had to sneak the Cam Newton in there. I know. So Haskins came in at 64% for me.
Ooh.
And that's just not good enough. It's just
not in college.
It is not like first round material accuracy to me. I mean, like I said, it could have just been the games I watched. Maybe I can go watch the other games. Maybe it'll change my mind. I still don't believe that it's going to change my mind any way around it with his accuracy. Haskins is really, to me, is all mental. He anticipates well. He reads coverage as well. He moves players with his eyes. He does a lot of great things that, you know, he plays quarterback position well. Right, I mean, is it to get where it needs to be? No, because I got him one to 10 yards. He's 67%, which is usually I like that to be in the 80s, Chris. That's my threshold.
I think
for that.
Everybody
one to 10
wants that.
Is
I think that's 80s. Where everybody wants.
I mean, even Lamar Jackson was in the 80s.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
From one to 10, you know, it's good. I mean, 10 to 20, he was good. He was 71%. I really like that, like being the 70s at 10 to 20. I mean, some players are higher than others, but being in the 70s is good for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was the 20-plus that really worried me a lot. It was the 25% he got there.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wasn't looking very good for him accuracy-wise going with the deep ball. And, you know, I'm big on the deep ball, man. That's like one of my big things for, like, a quarterback.
Marcus, that's
who has the best deep ball, right?
All the quarterbacks love the deep ball.
Exactly. So, if
except quarterbacks coaches. They want you to check it down. I want you to keep it short and shallow and keep it in that high percentage area. But you know all those quarterbacks, they want to throw that ball over the barn. They want to see it go, Marcus. Everyone wants to see it go. Chicks dig the long ball.
And that's my only reserve with him is the deep ball and it's just accuracy overall. Because everything else is great, man. He has great arm talent. He's great mental processing post and pre-snap. He anticipates. He does everything else well except get the ball where he needs to be. And
you know, the name of the game.
Yeah, he doesn't make bad decisions. He did make a bad decision against Nebraska. That was just awful. I didn't know where he was looking. He just threw it right into the safety. Safety's over the top. I don't know why the post. It was like, what are you doing? But that was really the only one of the bad decisions that he made. I mean, he didn't make bad decisions. He, like I said, he anticipates really well. He had this play against Oregon State where he he moved the corner two safe, the cornerback was playing cover two, right? Mm-hmm. And he was able to make the cornerback move up a little bit enough so he could hit the hitch route underneath just by using his eyes and, you know, and things like that. I think he actually hit the ground, to be honest. But it was nice.
He moved the guy the way he was supposed to.
And, you know, and that's...
So it's the opposite of Kyler, how we were sitting there saying, Kyler, you could have just hit the slant and then, like, hit the seam. It would have been a nice, easy, clean pocket. Everything's fine. You're just tiptoeing and parading and chasseing. And then you got the deep ball touchdown with Dwayne. It's like, hey, Dwayne, you did everything you were supposed to do, except you just, you know, missed.
Yeah, you get, and he has this thing where he doesn't step into the throw.
Oh, my God. That'll,
he does this thing, like, he throws off a plant, like, flat-footed off his back foot and just...
But it's not even like a back foot throw. He's just on stilts back there, like feet planted.
Yeah, and he just like throw. He uses all his whole body to throw it. And to me, what bothers me about that, it's some of his best throws.
No,
some of those accurate throws come when he throws like that, Chris. Oh,
that hurts my soul, Marcus.
It's the worst throws is when, I mean, he just like against Michigan State, he did not play well against Michigan State. That was one of his worst games. Mm-hmm. And you could see like he had bad feet all game. He's a little bit worried about the rush, but he handles rush pretty good on other games. I mean, the Purdue game, he showed a lot. That team was down, but he brought them back into it with some good deep balls. That was probably his best game that he threw the ball 20 plus yards. Because a lot of the times they don't throw the ball down the field. They're doing shallow crossers.
Yeah, that offense isn't designed for a quarterback to be sitting back there and to make reads and to throw the ball in. You know, pick your poison situations. Yeah. That's not the way that offense runs.
But you still see Haskins go through progressions.
Though. Sure. Oh, yeah. I'm sure Urban's drawn some stuff up so that he has to go through progression. That makes sense. I mean, he started with Alex. There's no way that he didn't keep that same concept in his offense all the way through, even for the years that it's been where. No, yeah, he has to be running through some of that stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, he's one of the only quarterbacks that I watched this year that really does go through progressions well. I know Daniel Jones kind of does, but, you know, we'll get into him later.
The more and more that we think about this and we talk about this, if Josh Allen would have stayed for his senior year, hands down, the best quarterback in the draft.
Not
even the best quarterback in the draft. He's the number one pick.
Number one pick, hands down.
Number one
pick. We don't even talk about number one
pick. That's not even a conversation. You and I would be like, oh, Josh Allen this year. Oh, Josh Allen.
But, I mean, he wanted to come out with the big boys.
Yeah, well, he did. Now he's going to be in Buffalo until his rookie deal's done.
He's still third quarterback taken with some pretty good quarterbacks.
You're right. He was. He's just not playing on a good team.
And you can kind of debate like if he played the best behind Baker Mayfield. It's a debate. People could debate that. He was like 6-8 or something like that. There's a debate there. Every game the Bills won, except the Mike Barkley game. So he won like 5 games. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he had a decent record, you know, as a starter.
Don't do this. Don't start.
You can make the debate.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'd rather debate that he would have been the best option this year than what he actually did this last year and how we felt about him going into his rookie year.
So like I said, I think Haskins is a first-round quarterback.
Okay.
I do think that. I just don't think he should be anywhere near a top-10 quarterback. I think he should be like 20, no, 22.
None of these quarterbacks should be. I think last year you could legitimately say that the quarterbacks that were picked in the top 10 deserved to be the top 10. I don't think you can say that this year. Not even close. Like maybe if we're really going to have a serious conversation about the quarterbacks versus the rest of the guys that are going to be available on draft day.
Yeah.
I don't even think you go top 20.
No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't. I think after 20.
I wouldn't grade as of right now today. If I had to grade these guys out, none of them are better than a second round pick.
See, I don't agree with that. I think Locke and Haskins are late first round picks, mid to late.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how we start feeling as we get closer to draft.
Like, if you take 19, if you take Drew Locke at 25, I'm okay with that. I'm not going to be upset.
25. Okay,
Drew Locke at 25, I'm not upset.
I don't know if I would be upset at that. I still wouldn't. Like, if I'm a GM and I got a quarterback need, maybe this is the year I go to free agency.
Yeah.
Maybe I spend 2 years on a quarterback that's just kind of a fill stopgap.
But you could
see what happens in the next 2 years, because there's a young kid coming out of Clemson in 2 years.
Oh, Trent Mr. Lawrence, huh?
Yeah, there's a young kid coming out of Clemson in 2 years. Maybe I can wait 2 years.
See, I've been watching a lot of running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. So I've watched a lot of Irv Smith Jr. I think I've watched the same Alabama all 22 games about 20 times now. Watching all the Alabama players, I've scrolled through Louisville. I've scrolled through just Texas A&M. I think I know everything that happens in the Alabama Texas A&M game, because I had to watch Damien Harris and Josh Jacobs. Which I do want to make a comment about Josh Jacobs. I think Josh Jacobs is the best fullback and best running back in this draft. I think he might be the greatest fullback ever. I've never seen any running back block like him.
Yeah,
he is dog. Like I would seriously think if like a team drafted him, that he should never come off the field. I think even if you put in the back of running back, you should put him at fullback and let him lead.
No kidding.
He just loves violence. That dude is just violent.
Yeah.
he's
some collisions.
But anyways, just talking about just a couple years. I mean, Tua's going to come out next year.
And yeah, but Tua's got to show me something this next season.
I don't know. I watched a lot of Tua, man. I tell you, I've watched a lot of all 22 of Tua.
He needs to show me. I need to see something at him this year.
Is he a quick decision maker? And is it the right decision most of the time? It's quick.
Is that okay? So is that him or is that Saban?
It's a little bit of both. It's both, man. He's there mentally, anticipating mental.
Yeah.
The mental game. I think his problem is pressure. Like he was never
under
pressure.
Oh, yeah, no. He couldn't handle any of the pressure.
He was under pressure twice this year, and three times, and he struggled all three times.
Yeah.
But that's his issue, is pressure. But if you give him a clean pocket, man, he's going to tear you up.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's fine in the NFL. And then going back to Kyler Murray, because that's what Kyler Murray had too, man. His whole line's getting drafted.
Yeah, they are.
Cody Ford's going to go in first round.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was there? There was a really good guy from Oklahoma that was at the Senior Bowl, but he was really good too.
Was it the center? No, the center was a young kid, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was probably one of the guards.
Yeah, he was really good too, man. I forgot. It was Drew Samir or something like that. I probably got that wrong. I'm sorry. Offensive lineman, I love you. I got that wrong. But he was awesome too. And that whole line was just ridiculous. So that's why it's harder to evaluate some of these quarterbacks too, because, I mean,
They don't have anywhere they're playing against.
Kyler Murray's chilling with clean pockets.
They're playing 7-on-7 out there. Yeah.
Chilling with clean pockets.
Yeah.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence, same way. I mean, his line is ridiculous, too.
Yes, they are. And so, you see how they brought them young kids in, too? Because a lot of that line's gone this next season.
Yeah.
But they brought in some of the young kids that are like these big 5-star recruits that are going to be the next group offensive linemen for them. Those kids held their own against these big Bama boys, too.
It's going to be Clemson-Alabama fun for the next couple years.
I'm excited about what's going to happen in college football. I really am.
Me too,
because there's a lot of young – we talked about it before. There's a lot of young quarterback talent that's going to show up the next three seasons.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see Justin Fields next year.
I'm really excited to see Fields. I saw that little wire ticker saying that Fields got cleared so that he can play.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, there's some quarterback talent coming. Uh-huh. There's some quarterback talent coming. So you mediocre quarterbacks that we're talking about right now.
Yeah. This is the year to forget drafting a quarterback.
Yeah.
Let's get into that free agency potential madhouse.
Yeah, let's get into the veteran quarterbacks here that are going to be available. That we know. We already know Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't know for sure.
You think they're going to keep Flacco? You think there's a chance?
How are they going to? They got to swallow that contract this year or next year regardless. Regardless.
But what would that do? They can get a draft pick out of Flacco, though.
For how? Who's going to take on that contract?
NFL's dumb. Somebody's going to pay him.
You're right. Somebody paid Sam.
He won a Super Bowl.
Someone paid Sam Bradford $20 million.
He won a Super Bowl.
You're right.
That's all they care about.
Okay. All right. You're not wrong. You know where I could see him being?
Where?
Washington.
See, I don't know.
I could see him staying. I could see him staying in Maryland, and he's a Redskin. I could see them. I could see Snyder doing that on purpose.
ESPN said that he might go to the Raiders today. They were talking about.
No.
Because they trade Derek Carr to the Dolphins.
Oh, my God. That's not happening. That's not happening.
No, it's not.
That's not happening.
No, it's not. I know. But Flacco's got to go somewhere. I think.
I could see him in Washington.
I did like the ESPN when they talked about Dalton going to the Redskins. I thought that was interesting.
Oh.
That's very interesting to me.
That is a little bit of a old school connection there.
That is very interesting. Even though I don't know who he's throwing to over there besides Jordan Reed.
There, I don't know. That organization's been a mess for a while.
I know they're not going to be good. The Dolphins.
You know the Giants are going to do something. They got to make a splash.
So with the Dolphins, because a team that could fall in love with Kyler Murray is the Dolphins, because they're, you know, they get some defense coaches understand how hard it would be to stop Kyler Murray. And the Dolphins could just.
Well, they got a Patriot guy over there.
Trade up. Just go
they
get him.
They got a Patriot guy over there now.
So
they got, I mean, a few Patriots.
They
guys
need a quarterback. And I mean, you don't know. I mean, you know, the rumor is that Tannehill's about to get dropped. We don't know how they feel about Tannehill, dude. We don't know. I mean, I guess
Tannehill could end up in Jacksonville.
Because he could end up in Washington, too. Yeah.
He could end up in Washington. You're right. I think if you're going to look at somebody who's not Josh Rosen, because I'm sticking with Rosen's going to be a Giant.
Yeah.
I think you see the Eagles get tricky and trade within the division. And they give Foles to the Giants.
Yeah. So we all.
Because then it's somebody that you know. Like, it's like, I would, if I'm the Eagles, I want to play against Foles because I know exactly what he can and cannot do offensively. Because he's, you know, the whole season he was throwing up against the number one defense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I'm the Eagles, I want Foles to end up in New York. I can't believe that. He's going to pay them back $2 million, keep 18, and then they're going to franchise tag him. He's going to get another 22.
I don't know. Why franchise tag him, though? Just let him go.
Because you got to get something out of it. They're going to tag him so that they can trade him.
I get that, but man, like, I get he wants you a Super Bowl, man, but he's Nick Foles.
I get it. I understand that. You and I talked about it. He sees one half of the field, and he doesn't
Nick
even Foles. Look the other way.
He's Nick Foles, man.
He doesn't even look the other way. That's if I'm the Eagles, that's my best case scenario. I trade him to the Giants. The Giants actually gave me something of value for him, and then I get to play against him for at least one more year.
I also think maybe they bring back Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford's going somewhere. I just trying to figure out where Sam's going.
You know what? That's actually not a bad call. Sam goes back to Philly to be the backup quarterback. That's not a bad call at all.
Yeah, I think that's
I think that's
good.
The right move.
But where is Sam going to go?
That's it, Philly.
Maybe Sam goes to the Dolphins.
He could very well end up as a Dolphin.
He could, yeah. See, Sam Bradford is the wild card here. Nobody's talking about Sam Bradford. That's the wild card.
Sam Bradford's not even talking about Sam Bradford.
He's the veteran wild card. NFL still all the NFL loves Sam Bradford. He's a great guy.
You're right.
He's a great guy, man. Great smile on his face.
You're right.
Coming to the franchise.
I like what you said there with him being back in Philly. I really do. I really like that.
You like the Philly one?
I do.
Him going back to Philly, kind of, you know, reminiscing.
Could you believe that?
I mean, he knows the offense. He was in offense.
Yeah. He was in the first year of Doug, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. He just kind of messed up the first time Sam Bradford's about to have the same offense 2 years in a row. He got hurt again with the Vikings.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What bad luck does he have?
That's
that Vikings team. His that first game against the Saints, that Vikings team looked really, really good. He looked really good with them boys, man.
I don't know, man.
I feel so bad for him.
I don't know what to tell you.
Just no pocket presence. Maybe if you have some pocket presence, Sam, you would realize that somebody's about to hit you.
Yeah, a little pocket awareness.
Yeah. A little pocket awareness.
You know who I want to talk about who didn't have any pocket awareness this weekend?
Who's that?
Berkovici.
Burko never had pocket awareness, man.
But, I mean, that was really bad.
I'm still mad at Todd Graham for trying to go with him.
Oh.
You wasted them. What were they? They were what? They had a really good year the year before that.
Yeah. Well, wasn't it with him?
No. He only played 2 games. Remember? Because it was. Knight was playing.
Yes.
Not Knight. Tommy Kelly.
Oh my God! I haven't heard that name in forever.
I know, right? His last AG quarterback to win 10 games. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Tommy Kelly. So yeah. So.
Oh my God! You just blew my mind, dude.
Yeah, we saw that with Burko, man. I don't know why he went a whole year with Brukovici, man. Still mad at Todd Graham. That's why he ain't got a job.
Well, I mean, he did win that game on a Hail Mary against USC. Nobody forgets that one.
He was a backup.
Well, he's starting now.
I guess so. But, I mean, they lost. He
got his bell rung.
He didn't show the NFL anything yesterday.
No, he didn't. No, he did. He showed them. He showed them that he couldn't anticipate the tight end coming across the field wide open, which he was. And there's that little ball that you throw up over the barn, just a little nice little touch on it. The safety stuck on the left side.
Yeah.
He paid the price. He's
got some issues, man. Burko, you know, we appreciate your time at ASU, but we just can't. I just wasn't a fan. I was super mad that Todd Graham even started you for a whole season. Like, you had no backup plan just because you threw a Hail Mary and had a couple good games. You're going with Berkovici for the whole season. We won 10 games last year.
Listen, we had to go with Manny this year.
The whole defense is about to get drafted.
We had to go with Manny this year.
I don't know. I'm tired of Manny, too. I'm just happy Manny's gone.
Me, too. Very excited.
I'm super
that.
Happy.
They got some nice young quarterback talent coming into ASU.
I know.
They got a stud running back. They got a defense that had 8 freshmen last year.
They got a redshirt that dude from California though.
Robertson?
No, the quarterback. I forgot his name. But he's 6'3", 175. He's got a redshirt. That's the craziest game.
You got a problem with the quarterback being 6'3", 175 playing? Marcus?
Yeah, I do at D1, Chris. Sorry.
I mean, my coach did say I couldn't play D1. I was too small. He did say that.
This kid's 6'3", 175, man.
That was me. That was my play. That was me playing
football.
I'm going
to need
football,
you to gain 30 pounds. It's February. I'm going to need you to gain 30 pounds, Doc.
I never broke nothing.
I'm going to need him to gain 30 pounds by the fall.
That's hard, man.
He's got to figure it out.
He's going to have to.
I need to be 210 by sophomore year. We got to put some weight on you, bro. Yeah. 6'3", 175 is going to cut it in high school. You can just run around people. That ain't working. I know the Pac-12, we ain't got that good of defense over there, but it's better than where you play. So I'm going to need you to put some weight on.
You're right. Can't get away with that in D1. Can't get away with that in D1.
No, you can't do the 6'3", 175.
Maybe for like a season.
I don't know. Maybe for half a season. No way.
Maybe
no
like
way.
A little bit.
All right, so we kind of got lost track. We're talking about ASU right now. So let's talk about a little AAF football. What did you think of the first week of AAF?
It was good to see football again, that's for sure.
Okay.
But I think I can't even spit his name out now.
Mr. Burko.
I think that was kind of the highlight of what it's going to be. You're going to see some things that look amazing because that hit was massive.
Yeah.
He got crushed. But that should never have gone down that way. If he makes the read that he's supposed to make, that's a 35-yard pass, bare minimum.
Yeah.
Bare minimum. Like, that's something that's just kind of standard in the regular, all what we see in the NFL.
Yeah.
But on the AAF, like, he got crushed. That's a big hit. That's going to be one of their highlight reels that they're going to play over and over to try and keep everybody involved in the game.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens here. The XFL had some massive buzz and some huge rating numbers that first week, but everything kind of fell apart after that.
But the XFL was a circus from the start.
It was.
Half-naked cheerleaders, and it was a circus.
They were playing it a specific way. And you're right. This is a completely different setup. It was really exciting to see the hot shots play well.
Yeah.
It was really exciting to see that. I saw this statistic, though. In week one of the games for the AAF, the drop percentage was 16.1%.
That's terrible.
In the NFL, it's 6%.
That's awful.
It's bad. This is not quality football. So is it really, how much do people care? For me, it's going to drive me insane.
But to watch.
I'm not
going to
be able to watch.
There's a lot of drops.
I'm not going to be able to watch. Well, it's not going to be just the drops. It's going to be the misses in pass protection. It's going to be the misses in a slant coming across the field on a hot route that if you make the throw where you're supposed to, it's a big game.
Yeah.
And then they don't. You know, there's going to be a lot of mistakes that are made that are going to bother the crap out of me. I'm not the target market for the AAF. I'm not. It's going to irritate me. But if they can get some of the big time plays to happen and keep the buzz going from the end of the football season in the NFL and let it carry through, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens once we get into week 4, 5, 6, 7.
See, my thing with AAF is I think some of these coaches are going to get jobs because Neuheisel was calling a game. That dude was putting some personnel and some packages in and some motions and some things that I was like, okay, Rick, you trying to get you a job, aren't you? You're trying to be offensive coordinator somewhere.
I think this is going to be very interesting to see how it plays out because did they just develop a minor league system for the NFL?
I think so. The NFL's really behind this, man. There's some kind of secret society stuff going here.
You know what it might be? They're trying to take the legs out from the NCAA.
They make
so much money. So much money off these kids that maybe they go, you know what? Mm. Maybe we don't need you to play 3 years in college. Maybe you can be a one and done. You can be a one and done. We'll draft you and we'll put you in our minor league system.
That's probably what they want to do.
I think that they will get so much money out of that, because now you get these kids that will come and have a massive year at Alabama, and you got these Bama guys who love their Bama guys.
Yeah.
They're going to go watch them. I mean, this is kind of what I was talking about.
He goes play for the Birmingham Iron.
Yeah. He goes play for the Iron. And this is kind of what I was talking to you about when we were breaking down your time at the Senior Bowl and what McSorley was doing, and the XFL's coming and calling McSorley. Maybe the NFL's like, no, XFL, you don't get a piece of this. No, college football. We're sick of you taking all of our money for 2 years on these rookie kids.
Yeah.
We're going to put them in our system, and we're going to have you guys watch them after your college season and before our pro season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you brought a really good point up to me when we were talking off mic.
Yeah.
They play the games on the NFL Network.
Yeah.
If the NFL really was afraid of this and really was trying to do everything they could to beat it down, they wouldn't put it on their network.
No.
So I think I kind of stole your thunder here. Yeah, I think you're right.
The fix is in.
I think you're right.
Pro Football Focus is grading every play. Yeah, the fix is in for this league. The NFL is 100% behind this league. And they're using it as a scouting thing. And they're kind of just trying to see how it goes. And then they're going to add more teams. And then they're going to do like the D-League does for basketball. And they're going to have like, okay, let's say instead of going to the practice squad, I'm going to send you down to the Arizona Hotshots.
Right. I think that anybody that's on a practice squad right now is in trouble. Because these guys are not going to want to stay on the practice squads.
They're going to want to try to get
They're
going to
want to join the AAF. So like, the value of being on the practice squad is shot. It's shot. Why would you want to be on a practice squad? You wouldn't.
Exactly.
You would want to spend the entire regular football season prepping for the AAF so you can get on TV and put on a show. What are they going to do? How are they going to practice? Like, it's a good thing for the NFL because now you got this minor league system, but how are you going to practice? You already can't hit each other.
Yeah.
You got these practice squad guys that are there because they're trying to get on the damn team. They're not going to want to be on the team anymore, Marcus. They're going to want to play in the AAF.
I mean, I don't know how practice squad money is, but I mean, maybe practice squad money. I mean, because
practice squad money, those guys are making six figures.
You can always get called up. That's the thing with practice squad.
You can always
get called up. So that's the difference between leaving the practice squad and going to the AAF is you could always get
but if you hold out and you go to the AAF and you make a name for yourself in the AAF, you've got a market. You're marketable.
Yeah.
You're potentially going to be getting endorsements.
Potentially, yeah.
For playing at a lower level, because those practice squad guys are playing against the starters and getting their butts kicked just to beg for some apparel to stand on the sideline during a game.
Yeah, see, in the Arizona quarterbacks, I'm saying he looked really good yesterday. And if he plays well, or if a quarterback goes in there and wins.
He could get a backup spot easy.
And wins AAF MVP or something. Yeah.
Tommy Maddox got a job that way.
Exactly. So, I mean, it could work out for you.
It can. It absolutely can. But that's the in-between that I would be concerned is if I was good enough to be a practice squad guy, and I'm a practice squad guy right now, and I'm on the team, but I'm a practice squad guy,
mm-hmm.
and these guys that can't even make a practice squad, now everybody's talking about them.
That's true.
How do you feel right now if you're the third string quarterback in LA for the Chargers?
Yeah.
And people aren't shutting up about Berkovici.
That's true. I mean, because
he got cut.
Even think the backup. What if Cardale Jones played in this league and got his feet wet, and then he could maybe develop into his potential that he has.
Mm-hmm.
Just learning the NFL off and getting that.
Is it worth being a backup quarterback in the NFL anymore?
I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, you always.
Well, is it though? Is it though? Because you're good enough to be the number two quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah,
you know you're better than the starters in the AAF.
That's true.
You know you are.
Well, I mean, I really think that you should do both. That's what I'm saying. That's why I think
can they? You can't.
At this point, they can't. But no. That's what the minor league would be better if they had guys like that.
Oh, because then playing. You could bring them up and down.
Yeah, and then you could put down Cardell because that'd be he's perfect. Yeah, that he's like the ultimate like
you have
guy
him
who
as
should
your,
be in that.
You
league.
Have him as your backup all season long.
Yeah,
and then he goes and plays for the San Diego Fleet. In the offseason.
Exactly.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, and that would be great for his development.
Absolutely.
And he
and then your practice squad guy's his backup. Oh my God. Never mind. I just had a revelation, Marcus. I'm not as concerned about what happens with those practice squad guys because those are the guys that are going to be playing.
Yeah.
Ooh, if the NFL does this right, Marcus.
Yeah, but you know, they got Roger Goodell, so we'll see.
You see him battling with Barstools. Have you been paying attention to that at all? He's been kicking Portney out of everything. Came to the Super Bowl, kicked him out. Came to the Super Bowl party, got him kicked out. Like, what are you doing with this guy for? You shouldn't be paying any attention to this guy.
Yeah, he's
under his skin.
The Barstools, man.
He's under Goodell's skin.
It's
fantastic.
It's that always sunny in Philadelphia humor. That's what I call Barstools. They always sunny in Philadelphia cracked off a whole like humor, a whole new humor. You know,
yeah,
so
but
what I look for.
But Goodell's feeding it. He's
I know
stoking it's, the it's, fire. He's feeding it. He's feeding it.
Because every time I see like somebody like Barstools or anything like that, I'm thinking, oh, you guys watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's like your show. I can bet it is. I bet that is your show. You could just quote it. Everything. This is all your humor is based off that. You guys basically sound like those guys. But all right, Chris. So good show today.
Yeah.
That was a good show.
That's a nice way to start the off season.
Yeah, it's a nice way to start the off season. Nice some good talk.
I wish the Super Bowl would have gave us more.
I know, man. The Super Bowl was just.
Would have been nice to kind of reflect on that for
no,
a few
nobody's
weeks.
Watching.
Really soak it in. Really break it down. Nothing. The game
no,
was nothing.
No Super Bowl classics for that.
Nothing.
No, nobody's playing that. 10 years from now, it's going to be the most forgotten Super Bowl.
They'll keep playing the Rams falling down at the 1 yard line versus playing this Super Bowl.
I know,
again.
which is a totally better Super Bowl. And I still don't. It's definitely a Jeff Fisher team because I don't know who calls a slant that's not going to the end zone. When there's no time left. But anyways, we're talking. Anyways, all right. So good. Make sure you subscribe on Spotify. Hit the download button. Go to iTunes. Hit the subscribe button. Make sure you check us out.
Give us some reviews.
Give us some feedback. Let us know how you think about the show. Keep checking us out. All right. We're out.